Let me explain what's going to be happening today and tomorrow. Every year we have what's called the Issues in Christian Education Chapel. As chairman of this new department, Educational Ministries and Leadership, what we try to do is bring to the forefront some things that we know are going to be so vital for you in ministry. This is some of the stuff that maybe you don't get to hear in a classroom. But this is the stuff that is going to be vital for your survival, whether you're going to be a pastor, a missionary, a professor, whatever you plan on doing. Let me talk about tomorrow, and then I'm going to introduce what we're going to do today. Tomorrow, Steve Frizzell, now I'm a little biased because he's one of my pastors at Bent Tree Bible Fellowship. Steve is going to be talking about family ministry, and you think to yourself, oh, well, I'm not going to have to worry about family ministry. I'm going to hire a great youth minister. I'm going to hire a great children's minister. Trust me. All of you are involved in family ministry. If you got kids, guess what? You're involved in family ministry. Steve brings a very grace-oriented perspective, and what I'm having him come do is to talk about family ministry in general. He's also going to be talking about parenting from a grace-based perspective, and he's also going to share a little bit about his own personal journey with foster care and adoption. They just recently have entered the foster care system, and that's something that's very key on his heart. Trust me, you want to be here tomorrow to listen to Steve Frizzell present. Today we're going to talk about mentoring. Studies are telling us that while programming is great, where growth takes place is life on life. You grow when you invest in the lives of others. And as we're going to talk about today, there is truly a crisis happening in our churches today from the lack of mentoring, and especially a lack of mentoring across generations. And so that's going to be our topic for today. And to set us up, we're going to actually listen to some quotes from people of their experiences with mentoring.
I do believe you've got my sheet. Thank
you. You don't have it memorized?
I don't. Terrible me. All right. You know, I keep trying to be involved in traditional Bible studies and mentoring relationships, both in my church and in other Christian organizations. I really do try, but my attempts keep coming up dry. Either I get creeped out by the idea of being forced to share with a mentor I don't know, or I find the material for a Bible study wearisomely, repetitively about proper women's roles. Or I join a Bible study to find it stiff and isolating. Sometimes I actually join and stick it out. But most often, I just shy away from joining something that has all the trappings of being a disaster. Or I end up dropping out because my incredibly busy schedule simply cannot absorb an event that's not truly feeding me. In the end, though, I don't feel good about not being involved or about dropping out. I keep wanting to tell someone, though I'm not sure who, that I'm not trying to be difficult. Would anyone believe that? I'm not sure they would. I feel difficult, and it's lonely.
Well, I really don't know about this next generation. I had a group of young women ask me if I could help them with this baby shower. And I am a veteran baby shower hostess. But this one almost did me in. They said, why don't we have it at your house? So I said, okay. So I said, why don't we get together and we'll have a plan and we'll get organized. And Ashley says to me, we don't need to do that. We'll just text each other. You know, we'll just get it all worked out. And I'm thinking, they're nuts. This will never work. You've got to have a planning meeting. You've got to decide who's bringing what, who's doing what. You've got to match so that you have your invitations and your napkins and your plates and everything matches. They said, no, we're not doing it that way. So I said, okay. I said, I'll get the cake. And the other girl said, yeah, we don't need cake. Everybody's on a diet. Nobody's going to eat the cake. And I thought, so I said, okay, this isn't going to be one of your traditional baby showers. So they texted each other all week, and they're working out all the details, and I just spent my time worrying. This thing is not going to come off. So finally, the day of the shower arrives. The girls come an hour before, and it is organized chaos. They're running around, and they're chatting, and they're moving around each other, having a wonderful time, and I'm a nervous wreck. So all of a sudden, we're arranging the table, and Sarah goes, oh, I forgot one of the ingredients. I'm going to the store. I said, you'll never get back in time. This will never finish. She takes off. Then Amy is working on her fruit salad, and she goes, ah, the bowl isn't big enough. Can I borrow one of yours? So I have to go digging around trying to find a bowl that's going to fit this fruit salad. And I had to stop what I was doing. So then I get back, we get all set up, and then the other girl says, ah, I don't have a serving spoon. So then I have to go dig around and find my silver serving spoon. I'm like, ah. So the doorbell rings. The first guest comes through the door. And I look around, and everything is set up. The table looks lovely, and it worked. Everybody had a wonderful time. But you know what? I was so stressed out, I will never do this again.
The best way to be formed in Christ is to sit among the elders, listen to their stories, break bread with them, drink from the same cup, observing how these earlier generations of saints ran the race, fought the fight, and survived in grace.
Drowning victims often fight their rescuers in the hysteria of that terrifying moment. And the same is often true for those of us who are floundering spiritually because our faith has suffered shipwreck. A young man who stayed and strayed from the Lord was finally brought back by the help of a friend who really loved him. And when there was full repentance and restoration, I asked this Christian how it felt while he was away from God. And the young man said it seemed like he was out at sea, in deep water, in deep trouble. And all his friends were on the shoreline hurling accusations at him about justice and penalty and about wrong. But there was one Christian brother who actually swam out to get me and would not let me go. I fought him, but he pushed aside my fighting, grasped me and put a life jacket around me and took me to shore. And by the grace of God, he was the reason I was restored. He would not let me go.
You've been reading the blog world here recently. You're hearing these conversations happening on the web. And as you hear the conversations even amongst the generations, there's a disconnect that's there. Our younger generation, they're giving up on church. And older generation is saying, well, we're trying to do all these things. We don't know where the disconnect is. This is an extremely relevant topic. You're going to be talking to people like the people you just heard in your churches, in your classes, maybe even in your own families. And so that's why we want to talk about mentoring and even talk about a book you're going to see up here that's going to be coming out soon called Organic Mentoring. And we get the privilege of talking with the authors today. Now, one of the people looks very familiar if you're here on the Dallas campus. This is Dr. Sue Edwards. Sue Edwards teaches in the Educational Ministries and Leadership Department. Barbara Newman, some of you here in Dallas do not know her, but if you're a Houston person, you do know her because she teaches for us in Houston in the Educational Ministries and Leadership Department. And these two ladies have written a book that you'll see up here called Organic Mentoring, and is going to be coming out this summer from Kriegel Publishing. And what we want to do is have a conversation with the two of you. And Sue, I want to talk first. Now, you mentioned in the book that we're experiencing this mentoring crisis. Can you describe a little bit more about that crisis?
Sure. Well, before I came on faculty here about 10 years ago, I led several mentoring ministries in local churches. And these ministries were highly structured. We had people come and we artificially matched them up. And we told them how long they were to meet and for a year and how often they were to meet. Sometimes we told them what to do. But I kept noticing that more and more of these artificial matches just were not working. And there was a lot of cleanup to this because these people were getting their feelings hurt through this process. And at the same time, we were especially losing our young people. They were clamoring for mentoring. They were saying, I'm desperate for mentors, but I don't want to do it this way. And I kept asking questions. A lot of the other leaders, we were asking questions. At the same time, a lot of research started coming out telling us that we were losing a lot of our young people. Example, in 2013, Barna had a study, 5 Reasons Millennials Stay Connected to the Church. And in that, he said that we are losing 6 out of 10 of the young people who've been in our churches, been in our youth ministries, but in their first 10 years of adult life, they leave the church. Certainly so disturbing and on our hearts for all of us. They leave the church unless they have had a mentor, an adult in their life, and then they are twice as likely not to leave. And so we began to realize the power of a mentoring relationship. And at the same time, we didn't know what to do. And a lot of us leaders were asking questions of one another. About the same time, Barbara Newman she's our first graduate in our Effective Ministries with Women cohort in our D-Men program. And she was our first grad, and she decided to do her dissertation on this topic of mentoring millennials and Gen Xers. And I was her first reader, and I worked with her on this, and I found the research, and then we did additional research after that for the book, so compelling and so interesting. And we said, this has got to be put in a popular form for the church. And so the book is coming out, and we're very excited about it. And our hope is, could I even use the word revolutionize the way we think about mentoring? Because it is such a critical element, and our young people are desperate for it. So, Barbara, tell us a little bit about your research.
Okay. As Sue mentioned, in 2009 and 10, I dug into this issue, and I do want to say that it was mostly Sue's idea that it be a book. I was quite happy to discover the information. But in any case, my research included interviews with young women who wanted to be mentored and had experienced and in a number of cases walked away from these highly structured mentoring approaches. And what they told me is that pretty much everything in them chafed at this approach. One of the reasons that we have this mentoring crisis that George mentioned is this disconnect between our generations. Now, most of you probably are aware of that this is going on, and we've always had generation gaps. But the disconnect that we're seeing today is more profound than what we have seen in the past. And like a lot of others, we think it has to do with moving away from the paper era, the print era, to the digital technology-driven era. And where we are today in the technology era has pretty much changed the way we do almost everything, and mentoring as well. So the more we learned about this mentoring crisis, the more we realized that a whole lot of mentors, and I think ourselves included at one point, cling to an outdated, almost formulaic model of what mentoring is all about.
So if we want to retain and invest in the next generation, we're going to have to find methods, mentoring methods, that work better for them.
So the title of the book, which you see up here, is called Organic Mentoring. And so Sue and Barbara, you're talking about a more organic approach to mentoring.
Absolutely.
So explain that to us.
Well, to begin with, we're looking in Scripture. Is there anything in Scripture that could help us? And we came across Deuteronomy 6:6-7. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Moses wrote to parents, impress these things on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And Moses is teaching the parents for their to give their children as much as possible, help them love the Lord, to pass on their faith. But this works in a mentoring relationship as well. And what we heard from young people was, we want to do life together. We want, at those teachable moments as we sit together and walk together and do life together, we want you to walk with us and help us. And we were pretty surprised, really, to find this kind of a model in ancient biblical wisdom. But there it is. And this was very much what the young people were asking us for.
Well, so, you know, Barbara, talk a little bit more specifically about, as you look at younger generations, mm-hmm. what are the specific things they're looking for in a mentor?
Okay. It might be helpful, George, to understand, first of all, who they're not looking for. Yeah. They are not looking for the Bible answer person. They are not looking for the fountain of wisdom. Someone who knows all the answers. Most of them don't want to go through a discipleship book or even a Bible study curriculum. What they told me is, we really would prefer you set the books and curriculum aside. Author Jana Sundin and mentor describes the situation this way. I was guilty of approaching her with an agenda, one that really didn't have much to do with her, rather than exploring her questions. I was also serving a method. The discipleship book that was placed in my hands became the way to serve her. And it hung between us like film that I could barely see her through. And our discussions fell flat. So they're not looking for the fountain of wisdom or the Bible answer person. Takes a lot of pressure off of a lot of us who want to mentor. That's good news. They're also not looking for somebody who will be shocked by what's really going on in their life, someone that they can't be honest with. You know, if we mentor next generation people, those of us, at least in my generation, may hear some things that sound to us a little bit raw, make us a little bit uncomfortable, but we have to get over that. We have to get over that, and we have to love them. We have to love them deeply, and we have to help them to be strong in Jesus. And as we do that, as that relationship develops, I think that we'll find that some of that rawness that makes us a little bit uncomfortable drops away, and it becomes a comfortable relationship. So we have to get over anything that sounds a little bit raw to us. They're also not looking for somebody who is going to try to remake them into a preconceived mold of some kind. They really dislike cookie cutter approaches to spiritual growth. So that's who they're not looking for. Who are they looking for as a mentor? Okay, they're looking for someone who can be honest and transparent, someone who can be real about their own life, about the mentor's own life, someone who's willing to talk about their struggles in the Christian life. Someone who might even talk about their failures very honestly. They're also looking for someone who will listen to their life, someone who will listen to what's going on and help them process it, help them to make godly decisions. You know, so many of our young people are just hungry for a more experienced person who will help them apply biblical truth to the challenges that they are facing right now, the challenges of the moment.
Yeah.
I hear a lot about relationship
in
this. So, Sue, what are the must-haves in a relationship, for the relationship to begin well and for the relationship to thrive?
And there are a lot of them. We have time for three. So I'll talk about three that I think are important that we heard a lot. The first one is they want flexibility. They don't envision a weekly commitment. They don't have time for that in their busy schedule. And by the way, mentors don't have time for that in their busy schedules either. Right. So this is actually good news for everybody. They want somebody, again, who will process as the need arises. And that might be, they might meet with somebody for several months and that would be all, or they might meet for a lifetime. The duration, the relationship, the need of the relationship would be what controlled this, not a calendar. That was pretty general. We saw that with most of them.
Pretty strong.
Pretty strong. We also heard them say they wanted what we've called in the book a natural click. In other words, they don't want to be matched artificially with somebody they don't know, and particularly with somebody they don't trust. And when you think about relationships, relationships are, there's a chemistry to it. Sometimes we don't even know why there's an attraction to a particular person, but there just is. And so that chemistry is extremely important, that natural click. Now, it gets complicated. Mm-hmm. We're in it's tension because we can't program a natural click. And so how is this going to happen? Well, we believe that we can help find each other in a lot of organic, natural ways, but we're going to have to retrain both mentors and mentees in our heads about the way this looks, the way we do this. Mentors are going to have to get very serious about understanding the generations that are coming up behind them, and mentees are going to have to realize that they're going to have to be more intentional, that they're going to have to initiate. Now, it doesn't mean that a mentor couldn't sense a click and ask someone out to coffee, but ultimately it needs to be the decision of the mentee, and they need to understand that and step forward. Because we want to, in the past, mentoring has been, the focus has been the spotlight on the mentor's wisdom. But really, the focus needs to shift to the mentee's need. And we're finding that with this shift in emphasis, it's actually going to be very appealing to both mentors and mentees, but particularly to mentors, because we find that there are more people want to be mentored than are mentees willing to step forward. We have all these hindrances, and one of them is we don't want to have to be the Bible answer person. We don't have time. We think that the things, what's so interesting about this new approach is that the very things that keep mentors from stepping forward are the things that mentees don't want. They're actually the things that sink the relationship. So if we can get in our heads on both sides a more organic, natural approach, we think that both will benefit and we'll have more of this actually happening. But there's a training that I think we've got to work on. So that's flexibility, natural click. The third thing is, reverse mentoring. Young people told us that they want this to be a reciprocal relationship, that they have something to give in their mentor's life as well. And I have to say from personal experience that that's been very true.
Very true.
I've learned about my children, my grandchildren, my younger students, a lot of that has come from the mentoring relationships that I am involved with. And if I need a technology lesson, I know exactly where to go. So indeed, there's got to be this give and take. And I think what's really exciting about this organic approach, again, is that what makes mentors hesitant are the very things that mentees dread and don't want. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we can catch that, it'll make a huge difference.
So that's kind of the overall premise of the book, but there's other resources in mm-hmm. the book as well. So mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about the other resources
okay.
that are there.
All right. Well, we have filled it with stories and stats and quotes from the research to help bring these concepts to life so you can see how they work out in real life. I think it's one thing to understand that change is needed, but another thing to know what needs to change and how to change it. So Sue and I hope that God might use organic mentoring to help mentors see, first of all, what needs to change and how to make those changes. Let's see, we start with a pretty thorough description of the generations so we can begin to understand each other a little bit better. It's always a good place to start with greater understanding. We also talk about the need for more intergenerational community.
Yeah.
You know, George, it seems to me that so many of our churches and ministries are age segregated today, so much so that it's hard to be around somebody that's not your same age.
Yeah.
And we don't see that model in Scripture, and we think that it really hinders mm-hmm. any kind of a healthy mentoring environment. We also have a chapter on the use of technology mm-hmm. in mentoring, how it can help assist the relationship, and how it can also hinder it, how it can cause problems in the relationship. But in the end, we're convinced that organic mentoring is something that we need to learn how to do. It's a simple process, but we need to learn how to do it. So at the end, we have some training manuals that leaders can use to help train and equip those who are interested in mentoring in going this new direction. If we're not going to pair them up, how do they meet? How do they connect? And if we're going to set the curriculum aside, what do they do when they get together? So we address these things in these separate manuals at the end of the book. One is for mentors. Mentors need a little more training and equipping. But one is for the younger generation because, as Sue mentioned, they now have more responsibility to initiate, to start, to connect with someone that they feel drawn to. So it'll help in knowing how they do that. We've also got an appendix that makes some suggestions for maintaining an organic environment once you get it started. How do you keep it going?
You know, a couple different things. One is, as you've heard about the crisis of mentoring, and again, the research that's out there that's telling us that it's not our programs that is keeping our people connected. And even as you grow in maturity, the programs actually become less and less important compared to the investment in the mentoring. Personal illustration. Think about in your own life, who had the greatest impact in your life? You know, it wasn't my senior pastor and it wasn't my youth minister. It was my Sunday school teacher who took the time to invest in me. I have an 18-year-old daughter. The greatest impact in my daughter's life have been two young ladies who have been investing in her during high school, calling her, hanging out with her. The curriculum is secondary to the relationship. And again, for us to, as churches, as we have people that are begging to be mentored, how do we create this organic environment for that to take place? Plug for my department. Many of you are in a spiritual formation group. That's mentoring. That is peer mentoring. And you have an opportunity to invest in people's lives, and not just your leader in the group, but you invest in one another's lives. And I'll go a sales pitch of this aspect of, if you want to learn this stuff, guess what? Be an SF leader. We'll give you a group of people and say, hang out with these people and love on these people. This is vital for you to survive in ministry. Internship as well. If you're doing an internship with us, we're going to place you with a mentor because it's so vital. When I first came in this position 12 years ago, we were talking with pastors, and we had pastors who told us that no one had ever mentored them. That's our senior pastors telling us this. And we want to change that. And so even in our curricular structure, what we're doing with spiritual formation, what we're doing with internships and the relationships you have with your professors, mentoring takes place in all those various different things. You've heard a lot of things this week about accreditation And if you were here for the WEC conference, you saw a video about the compassionate servant. That was what we chose as our QEP, or quality enhancement plan. But if you were here last year, you know we voted on actually three different plans. One of them was mentoring. And we're progressing on, while we're doing the compassionate servant, we're also progressing on with the mentoring aspect as well. And we're excited that we've launched this semester a website, dts.edu/mentor. And we are building that literally on a weekly basis of putting things up there. Barbara's been very instrumental in putting things up there. We're putting videos, we're putting links to articles, we're putting links to books. And that's going to be a resource that we want to come alongside you as students. We also are making this available to churches as well, because when you graduate from here and you go out to your church and you have somebody say, I want you to mentor me, and you go, I have no idea what to even do, we want to put those resources in your hands. And so dts.edu/mentor, it is a work in progress that we are developing, and we hope that we have by the end of this semester and absolutely by the fall, that is going to be an extremely robust website. And also to... that's a great thing. If you tell us, what do you need? We want to know how to resource you. As we conclude, tell us, when does the book release, and how do we get copies of the
book? Well, you can actually pre-order it now. It's on Amazon. It comes out in July. I wish it was earlier. I've had a number of requests, but that's, you know, publishers. They do it on their timetable. So July, formally, it should be out then.
Awesome.
And you can order it on there or a number of other places.
Great. Well, thank both of you for sharing on a very important topic. As I said, tomorrow, come back tomorrow, because we're going to talk about family ministry and talk about how do you minister the birth to 18 category that's in your churches. And if you ever plan on being a parent, trust me, you want to be here tomorrow, because how do you parent your child in grace? How do you parent well? Let me close this out in prayer and get you out of here. Gracious Father, thank you for the mentors in our lives. Thank you for the men and women who invested in our lives. Thank you for the men and women who, even in our wrestling with coming to seminary, the people who invested us and believed in us. The reason why we're here is because somebody believed in us and gave us opportunities. Father, may you place in our hearts the heart of mentoring. May you bring to our minds, who do we need to be investing in? May we look to the next generation. Father, we pray for mentoring relationships in our churches. And Father, we pray for these mentoring relationships that they will bring glory and honor to your name. And Father, we do pray these things in the name of your Son and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all.